Wednesday, April 7th, 2021. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado. And we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope you had a good Easter over the weekend. Hope your week is going well. Hope you and your family and friends are all, you know, staying healthy, getting better, maybe getting vaccinated. Whatever the situation is in your life, we are happy to have you here with us today. You know, we actually have a few special things that have happened in sports history today on April 7th. Because back in 2014, the University of Connecticut became just the second team in history to win both the men's and the women's NCAA basketball championships in the same year. The men beat Kentucky in the title game, after the women had already gone 40-0, and they had beaten previously unbeaten Notre Dame to win the women's title. Of course, the only other time that has happened, it was also done by the University of Connecticut. 10 years previous, in 2004, the Connecticut men had beaten Georgia Tech in the national championship, and then just a day later, the UConn women beat Tennessee in their championship game. It has happened just twice, both times at UConn. Also, on April 7th, back in 2008, the Kansas Jayhawks won their first title in 20 years as Mario Chalmers hit that miracle shot to send the game into overtime, and eventually Kansas would beat Memphis in the title game. For the record, 2008 did also mark the only time in NCAA tournament history that all four number one seeds have made it to the Final Four. Hasn't happened very often, just the one time, that was in 2008. But we have one other event that we need to talk about that took place on April 7th. It was back in 2003, and on April 7th, a team won the men's national championship, and we all thought at that time, maybe this is just the beginning for a player that would be named most outstanding player of the tournament. This kid averaged 22 points and 10 rebounds per game that year. And get this, he was only a freshman. I mean, what else is he going to do in his amazing career? Well, it turned out he would score over 27,000 points in the NBA. He would grab nearly 7,500 rebounds. Those are pretty impressive numbers for anyone. And yet, it turns out that when Syracuse won the national championship over Kansas back in 2003, it would pretty much be the only thing that Syracuse freshman Carmelo Anthony would ever win. I mean, yes, he is still playing, and he can still score. It's just that he can't ever seem to win. I'm not saying it's all his fault. Sure, he doesn't play any defense, and he only rebounds when he feels like it, and he refuses to pass the ball, but there is no question, Melo can't score in the NBA. He has now played for 18 seasons in the league, and he averages 23 points a game every time he steps on the floor. And yet, for some reason, that scoring has never been all that conducive to his teams actually winning. Because in that 18-year career, Melo has won just 54% of the games he plays in. So, he's what, a 500 guy? He's a Tony Romo kind of guy? And that's not like a small sample size. I mean, that's nearly a 20-year career. He is who he is. Carmelo Anthony won the national championship with Syracuse on this day, April 7th, back in 2003. But he really hasn't been close to winning anything major since. Now, maybe that's just a wacky coincidence. Or maybe Carmelo Anthony is just a guy that cares a little more about scoring and living in a big city and making wine, doing endorsements, being involved in digital media. Maybe he cares a little bit more about that stuff than he ever has really cared that much about winning games. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe tell us your favorite player that never won anything once they got to the pros. We'd love to hear from you. We can debate if you'd like to. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at dailydosesports. Like I said, maybe you want to talk sports. Maybe you've got a question. Maybe you need a little advice. Make sure you send what it is that you have to us over there. Also, as long as you're doing that online shopping, go get some Daily Dose gear over at tpublic.com. We are going to be sending someone a Daily Dose t-shirt from tpublic.com, but you might want to stop over there and check out some of the stuff we have. You can get a t-shirt, a sweatshirt, a hoodie. Make sure you stop by tpublic.com and see what they have over there. Hey, today on the show, the College Basketball National Championship is now complete. We're going to be talking quite a bit about that game, and we might have to talk a little bit about the Final Four and how both teams got there. But then, did you realize that last Thursday was opening day for the 2021 Major League Baseball season? Well, we didn't realize that either. But I have heard from some very reliable sources that that is actually true. Today, we are going to be joined by our resident MLB expert to get an idea of what we should expect this year in baseball. But first, let's talk about a few things coming out in the world of sports. And first up, we've got to talk about those tricky Texas Baptists. The Baylor Bears rolled to their first national championship in school history, steamrolling the previously unbeaten Gonzaga Bulldogs on Monday night. Baylor wins 86-70. And hey, the Bears dominated. They never trailed against, we might add, an undefeated Gonzaga squad that was trying to complete the first perfect season since 1976. But Baylor didn't need a miracle shot or anything like that. They just whooped the Zags from beginning to end. The Bears just had way better guards than Gonzaga did. And get this, for the game, Baylor shot 10 of 23 from three-point range, while Gonzaga shot just 5 of 17 from three-point range, and most of those shots were in garbage time when it didn't matter anymore. And that's a big, big difference. Baylor guard Jared Butler scored 22 points. He drains 4 three-pointers. He wins the Final Four Most Outstanding Player Award. And I know there's a little bit of a narrative right now that maybe Gonzaga was just worn out from that thrilling Final Four finish on Saturday night when they beat UCLA on a nearly half-court shot at the buzzer in overtime from point guard Jalen Suggs. Meanwhile, Baylor blasted Houston in a blowout and just coasted to an easy win. Well, Gonzaga was just physically and emotionally spent. Yeah, and I'm sure there was some of that out there. I'm sure Gonzaga had a little bit of hangover. But here's my only problem with that. We could run this game back 10 times. And I'm not so sure Baylor doesn't just win all 10 of them. I mean, two reasons primarily. One, we saw, especially against UCLA and then again against Baylor, Gonzaga isn't that strong defensively. I mean, they have a hard time keeping people in front of them. And again, we've talked about this aspect before. If you don't finish every single defensive possession with a rebound, then you're not truly a great defensive team. We saw it against UCLA, and then Baylor really exposed it. Gonzaga was not a great defensive team. But then there also was that difference in three-point shooting. Baylor is the best three-point shooting team in the country. They make nearly 42% of their three-point shots. Meanwhile, Gonzaga was ranked number 59 in the country. They made 36%. Hey, as the Golden State Warriors reminded us a few years ago, threes count more than twos. Baylor was hitting threes, Gonzaga was hitting twos, and it really was never that close. I mean, think about this. Baylor made 30 field goals on Monday night, okay? Gonzaga made 25. Now, that sounds close, right? But when one team makes 10 threes and one team only makes 5, yeah, you get a blowout. There is also a narrative coming from a lot of people in the sports media world that Gonzaga is soft. Hey, you can't win coming out of that little conference. Mark Few, their head coach, he can't win the big one. That's all incorrect as well. Gonzaga has now been to the national championship twice. The first time in 2017, they lost to North Carolina, who had a much better team than they did. And then on Monday night, I think we can all agree, Gonzaga again lost to a much better team. That's not choking. That's not underachieving. That's not being soft. Hey, Gonzaga and Mark Few have built up a really strong basketball program in a place that no one ever saw coming. It wasn't like back in the 80s or the 90s, people were saying, you know who's a real sleeping giant? That little school out in Eastern Washington. Boy, when they get it going, it's really going to get rolling. No one saw this coming. Mark Few has built a basketball program that is at least a threat to win a championship every single year. There's nothing soft about that. There's nothing small time about that. Gonzaga is no joke. On the other side, hey, congrats to the Baylor Bears. The job that head coach Scott Drew did down there, I mean, remember when he first arrived at Baylor back in 2003, Drew was in his early 30s, and he was given the job of rebuild this disaster of a college basketball program. Because remember, Baylor player Carlton Dotson had just been charged with murdering his Baylor teammate, Patrick Dennehy. Then, former Baylor head coach Dave Bliss was caught on tape telling players to paint Dennehy as this drug dealer to hide illicit payments and other violations within the program. This was a complete disaster. Prior to Scott Drew's third season, the NCAA dropped the hammer on them and banned Baylor from playing non-conference games. The fact that he has built this back up into what it is, hey, this might sound insane. Scott Drew has maybe done one of the best coaching jobs in the history of ever. What he did this year, winning the title at that place, coming out of what they had going down there, oh no, he deserves all the credit in the world. That's not even close. Congrats to the Baylor Bears. Congrats to Scott Drew. They did an absolutely amazing job this year. That was impressive, impressive stuff. And I don't want to hear about, would Gonzaga have been one of the all-time greats, or is Baylor one of the all-time greats? We don't need to talk about all that. Again, comparing eras is really, really tough, but congrats to Baylor. That was a phenomenal win. But here is the most important news of the day, because the Daily Dose March Madness Bracket Challenge is now complete, and we need to announce the winner of who is going to be getting a Daily Dose basketball t-shirt in, I might add, the color of their choice. Because when you go to Tee Public, you can pick whatever color you want. So, without further ado, let's see who finished where in the final standings. We'll start back at number 7, tied for 7th place. Well, I was in 7th place with Beef Liver. At 6th place, we have Easy Money. Coming in at 5th place is Travis G, who actually led this bracket for a lot of the tournament, but the final four and the title game knocked Travis out of that spot. In 4th place, we have The Boss. 3rd place goes to I Swim in Pinkle, whatever that is. And now we're getting serious, because 2nd place in the Daily Dose Bracket Challenge goes to The Right One. Might have to talk a little bit more about The Right One a little later in the show. Meaning that the winner of the 2021 Daily Dose March Madness Bracket Challenge is Larry H. In fact, I don't know if this is going to work. I'm going to try it. Let's see if we can track Larry H. down real quick. I don't know if I can get him on the phone or not, but I'm going to try.
Yes, sir.
Is this Larry H?
It is.
Larry H, this is Clint. I am calling with the Daily Dose, and I just wanted to let you know that you are actually on the show right now, and we wanted to congratulate you on winning the Daily Dose March Madness Bracket Challenge.
Well, was it ever in doubt?
Yes, you were in like 7th place most of the entire tournament.
Well, thank you. It's good to be on the Daily Dose. It's been a while.
Well, you big timers. You don't show up.
Well, hold on. If I'd known all I had to do was win a tournament or something to get on, then, you know, I would have done that before.
Let me ask you this. What is your strategy for success picking these NCAA tournaments?
Clint.
Yeah.
You know this. My strategy,
yes,
as it always has been, is that if you cannot fill out your bracket in less than 10 minutes, you are doing something very, very wrong.
So did you had Baylor winning the whole thing. Did you have them beating Gonzaga?
I had them winning the whole thing. Oh, did I pick Gonzaga?
To get there.
Again, Clint, details about the bracket don't really come.
Can you name a single player on the Baylor roster?
No. I think I read the guy by the name of Mitchell who was named MVP. I did not read the whole article.
No, but, you didn't, because he wasn't named MVP, but that's all right.
Oh, okay.
Here's the big question I have for you. What color shirt do you want on that Daily Dose t-shirt we're going to be getting out to you? You can pick pretty much any color.
Wait a minute. Are you kidding me?
No, you pick the color.
I didn't know there was something, to play for here, man. Maybe I would have spent 5 minutes.
Right. You could have spent an extra 30 seconds on this, but no, it's all legit. You tell me what color do you want, because we're doing it right here on the podcast. You tell me what color and I'm going to make it happen.
All right. Well, because I picked Baylor, I'm going to go with the green, I guess.
You're going to go with green. Okay. Well, Larry, I want you to know.
And mind you, I have no allegiance to, Baylor at all. I just,
That's weird because you seem like such a conservative Baptist sort of guy. I just assume maybe that was your school.
I appreciate that. And it's not, I have no allegiance, but, for all your listeners out there who, I put a tip sheet out before the tournament when people are selecting their brackets. It's pretty small. There's not a lot of tips, and that's why I call it a tip sheet.
Right.
I think there's
just
one tip in there.
Just one single tip. Don't spend too much time on it.
One tip.
Well, Larry, I want to offer you our sincere congratulations. And you are living proof that dreams can come true.
Man, I've dreamed about this moment for a long time, Clint.
That's all I wanted to hear. Thank you so much. We will be in contact soon.
Thanks, Clint.
Folks, that hurt my brain a little bit. All right, we gotta gather ourselves a little bit after that conversation because, all right. Got one more story we need to touch on real quick. We are going to be talking about Major League Baseball here in a few minutes, but it was announced that MLB has opted to move their All-Star game out of Atlanta due to voting laws that were passed in Georgia last month. Georgia is now apparently requiring identification for voters that are voting by absentee ballot. And now, Coors Field in Denver, they are saying, has been chosen to host this year's game instead. This year's All-Star game originally was scheduled for July 13th. At the home in Atlanta of the Braves. Commissioner Rob Manfred said in a statement at the time, he discussed the potential move with individual major leaguers and the Players Alliance before ultimately deciding to make the call as the best way to demonstrate our values as a sport. Now, forget for a moment that Colorado requires photo ID to vote in person as well as absentee. They also require signature verification for mail-in ballots, which Georgia actually doesn't require, and that Colorado also prevents campaign workers from giving food or water to voters within 100 feet if they're wearing campaign apparel. Don't worry about the fact they're moving it to Colorado when Colorado's laws are actually a little bit stricter. And I mean, even forget that MLB's home state of New York also has much stricter rules for voting than Georgia has ever dreamed of having because they require IDs. They also have way stricter time limits for when you can vote. Let's be real clear about one thing that MLB is doing. Kids, this is about a show. This is about optics. This is about a spectacle. That is what Major League Baseball is doing here. This isn't really about helping anybody. They don't really care about that. They are trying to put on a show for the woke crowd and make everyone think, hey, MLB, they really care about the woke crowd too. And maybe Major League Baseball will get some of those advertisers to give them a little extra money. Which is kind of ironic when you think about it. Because Major League Baseball is all about the show. They're all about the spectacle, right? So now they're moving their All-Star game from Atlanta, where no one was going to watch it. Because, I mean, MLB ratings are in the toilet pretty much every single year. They're going to move that All-Star game to Denver. where again, no one's going to watch it. Because, I mean, now Major League Baseball has angered at least 50% of the people who did actually watch their sports. Again, it's all kind of ironic. Because one key aspect to being a show, to being a spectacle, is that you have an audience to watch that show. But MLB's audience just keeps getting smaller and smaller. So they're putting on a show, but at this point, it's basically for no one. The game of musical chairs has begun in college hoops already. You know, we talked a little bit last week about Shaka Smart leaving the University of Texas and taking the Marquette job. Well, it didn't take long before Texas Tech head coach Chris Beard agreed to jump ship and he will go to Austin to take the Longhorns job. Hey, Beard is a really good coach. He teaches toughness. He teaches kids working hard every single day in practice. He teaches discipline and defense. But that's still a really, really tough job because expectations at Texas are going to be so high. Hey, I hope he does well. I like Chris Beard, but that isn't going to be an easy job. We have also talked that after the success he had at Loyola Chicago, head coach Porter Moser could pretty much go wherever he wanted. And it turns out that he decided to do exactly that. Moser will take over the Oklahoma job now that Lon Kruger has now retired. And I actually think the Sooners job might be a little bit easier of a job than that Texas gig. But I said even last week, I hate to see Moser leave Loyola. I really like the program that he had built up there. We will see how he does down in Norman with the Sooners. And then last week on April 1st, we got news that North Carolina head coach Roy Williams announced he was retiring from coaching. When I saw that, I was like, is this an April Fool's joke? I mean, Roy Williams is a lifer. And yet, I don't know, this era of one and dones and all the transfer portal kids and kids that won't do what he asks them to do apparently have chased this lifer from the game of basketball. Roy retires with over 900 wins, and he was the fastest ever to that number. He won 3 national championships, and I mean, there's no question. We've talked about it before here on The Dose. Roy Williams has to be in the conversation for the Mount Rushmore of college basketball coaches. If you are putting 4 guys up there, Roy Williams has to be up there somewhere. He's at least, I don't know, 4 through 6. Roy was really, really good. Remember, he won 400 games at 2 different schools. This wasn't just he walked into the perfect situation and happened to win a few games. He won a ton of games at both Kansas and North Carolina, 2 blue blood schools with huge expectations, no less. Now it appears longtime assistant Hubert Davis will take over the Tar Heels program. He should do a pretty good job, but make no mistake, college basketball will miss Roy Williams. Moving over to the NFL, we may still be trying to figure out who teams are going to be selecting later this month in the NFL draft, but we can rest assured that the New York Jets are going to be drafting a quarterback because on Monday, the Jets agreed to ship quarterback Sam Darnold to the Carolina Panthers for a 6th round pick this year and then a 2nd and a 4th round pick next year. So they're going to have to go get somebody because right now they don't really have anybody. And you know, once again, this confirms my suspicions that the Carolina Panthers hate Teddy Bridgewater. I don't know what they're going to do with him now. Do those two battle it out? Do Darnold and Bridgewater have to play for starting time? Or now is Carolina going to ship Bridgewater somewhere else? That'll be very interesting to watch. I'll tell you this. I'll take Teddy Two Glove here in Denver over Drew Locke like yesterday. I'd be absolutely fine with that if they can get a decent price tag. Finally, we did see the first official trailers for the new Space Jam 2 movie that is scheduled for release this July. And there are a couple of things that stood out from the trailer, at least to me. So, of course, LeBron James is, I guess, reprising this role that Michael Jordan played back in the day. Meanwhile, Don Cheadle will take on the role of the bad guy instead of the animated Danny DeVito that appeared in the first film. But you know that the comparisons are coming for LeBron. I mean, he's remaking a movie that originally starred Michael Jordan. And here is the first comparison that we see just in the trailer. In the preview, LeBron is making a list of his dream team to combat the bad guys. And his list reads as follows. Superman, Gandalf, King Kong, and Iron Giant. Bro, you need that crew to beat the Monstars? I mean, MJ beat the Monstars with, like, Bill Murray and Newman from Seinfeld.
Hello, Newman.
I realize that LeBron only plays on super teams, but I mean, I thought he might take on some cartoon characters on his own at least, but I guess not. Hey, you do you, King. I guess if he loses to the Monstars in this sequel, he'll just switch teams and join them in Space Jam 3 anyways. Okay, coming back. The 2021 Major League Baseball season got started last week, and when we come back, our resident baseball expert, Young Jimmy, is going to join us and let us know what to expect from this upcoming season. Joining us right now on The Daily Dose, we have a guest who has joined us before, and he's back again today because Young Jimmy is back on The Dose today. And for those of you who don't know, Jimmy is up at the University of Colorado at Boulder studying, of all things, sports journalism, kids. First off, Young Jimmy, welcome back to The Dose. We love your visits. Glad to have you here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back.
How are things going up at the University of Colorado, first off?
A little dodgy. We had some incidents of some shootings of a while back.
Good.
The weather can't stay consistent. I wear short sleeves and then it's snowing the next day.
You're not used to Colorado.
No, where is this coming from?
It's spring. Here's a secret that people don't know. Winter, from Halloween to February, let's say, kind of ballpark, winter. Gets cold, rarely snows. End of February to May, snow season. And that's what people don't know. We've got spring and you're like, you have a day like today. Hey, it's 70 degrees. It's beautiful. It's perfect. What people don't realize, tomorrow we might get 2 feet of snow.
That's ridiculous.
And that's the adjustment that you're going to have to make.
It is baseball season in Texas, where I'm from. It is baseball season right now. Short sleeves. It's humid. 85, 90 degrees.
Sure.
Easy.
No. We're going to have days of 75 here. And then you're going to get about 3 days where you get 2 feet of snow. That's just how it works. Are you able to go to classes now? Are you in class now?
I only have 2 in-person classes right now. They haven't opened it up much. They said next year that they're going to do it, but we'll see.
So everything else is just what, online?
Online.
Okay. So how are those classes going? Because you're taking sports journalism classes, right?
Yeah. So right now they're a little more broad.
Sure.
Journalism classes. Then I can specify a little more in my next few years. But they are boring.
I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm going to give you some time to think about it, because I want you to think about something you have learned so far in your journalism class that maybe you didn't know, but you feel like eventually it's probably going to be something that's really, really important to you in the world of journalism. Because a lot of times you're going through your studies and you're like, I've never thought about that before. And then as you start to work, as you start to go into that field, you're like, I'm glad I learned that, because I use that every single day. And one of the things that I learned in taking, you know, the journalism classes that I took was to be able to read and make it not sound like you're reading. Mm-hmm. That's a skill that's acquired. Yeah. And there's a lot of people that don't have that skill, but that was something that I remember being told on maybe my first day and going, really? Is that a thing?
Mm-hmm.
Got anything that you've learned so far in journalism classes?
Well, funny enough, I think the hardest thing for me in one of my broadcast journalism classes is talking like you're talking, not writing. Because I'm so used to writing out like a script and then reading it off of like a writing. But I'm writing and then I need to make it sound like I'm having a conversation with someone.
Right.
Especially
right.
on the broadcast journalism side of things.
Yep.
And it's definitely a struggle for me. And, you know, we'll be presenting in front of the class what we're doing. And like, hey, that sounds like you're reading.
Sounds like you're reading it off the paper.
Yeah. So I just need to adapt that out into a more talking setting. I'm struggling with a little bit.
But. And the more that you do it, the easier that it will get. But that is one thing that is a little bit hard. And it's funny when you go into like a radio station and you see some of the really good ones, the veterans,
mm-hmm.
they're reading the script. You can't tell they're reading.
Yeah.
Like you're listening to them going, it just sounds like they're like talking to me. Mm-hmm. Like we're just hanging out, you know, having lunch or whatever. That is one of the hardest things to do. It's something that you will eventually pick up on. Jimmy, we had you in today because you are our resident Major League Baseball expert. We bring you in for those expert opinions. But I've got to ask you something, because MLB opened their season officially this last week. I have to ask you this right off the top. Why is Major League Baseball the worst pro sport on the planet for publicizing the opening of their season? It's like they're shy about telling anyone that it's opening day. Hey, guys, shh, it's opening day. They're like, hey, guys, shh, playoffs are starting. Why don't they tell anyone? Why is this not a huge deal?
That's a problem, seriously. I woke up on April 1st. It was like April Fool's Day. It's opening day. Is it? Is it opening day?
No one heard anything.
I saw it on Twitter, and you know what I saw more than opening day? I saw that the MLB is moving the All-Star game out of Atlanta.
Out of Atlanta. That was bigger than the opening day stuff.
Yeah, thanks for getting into politics rather than the baseball that you're doing.
For sure. No, I don't understand it. Here's another question for you. Speaking of Major League Baseball getting going, we have a chance for MLB to kind of be the leader in the return of fans to live sporting events. We're starting to see it. You went to a Colorado Rockies game yesterday. How many people are at the game?
It was pretty packed.
Yeah, it was pretty packed.
You know, it was loud. There was more Dodgers fans than Rockies fans. Sure. It definitely felt like it. Well, those guys are definitely louder than the Rockies fans.
Right, right.
But no, it was pretty full for what it is. I feel like they put it up to capacity. You know, the Rangers are already letting everybody in.
Yeah.
They're all full.
I'm genuinely hoping the MLB kind of gets that going and people start to get more comfortable and we start to see the return of fans to sports, because it is different. As much as we're glad sports are back, it's different when it's a packed house.
Yeah, especially, you even see it on Twitter, the players are really appreciating the fans coming back. CJ Cron tweeted out, "Baseball's better with fans. Thank you. Happy opening day." That went kind of viral a little bit.
Sure. I love it, and I'm really hoping that they actually can be the leader. That way, when it is time for football this next round, hey, fans are back in. We're kind of used to it. It's kind of feeling more normal to us. So I'm hoping that MLB paves the way in that direction. Jimmy, as we look forward to this 2021 MLB season, based on paper, at least, and well, let's be honest, based on talent and based on last season, the Los Angeles Dodgers are easily the heavy favorite. I mean, they have everything. They're completely stacked. Dodgers are a load, aren't they?
Yeah, I was at the game yesterday, and the Rockies were playing the Dodgers, and I was looking at that Dodgers lineup, and I was like, man.
It's an all-star team. That's a stacked
line. And then I realized Justin Turner and Mookie Betts weren't playing that day. I was just in awe. That is an all-star team. And then you look at their pitching, and I saw the first two guys. You had Kershaw going the first day and then Bauer going the second day. I was like, okay, third day, your third starter. I took a deep breath. I was like, okay, might have a chance. And I realized we were facing Walker Buehler. they just have depth.
Well, here's one thing I want to ask you about concerning the Dodgers pitching. We know pitchers didn't pitch much last year.
No.
It was a short season. They didn't have to put in the innings that they would usually. This year, those innings are going to go way, way up. Those pitch counts are going to go way, way up. Because of the number of games, there's maybe some hope that maybe those guys would wear out a little.
I think we're definitely going to see a lot more injuries. There's definitely going to be a lot more arm injuries. I mean, it's already happening a little bit. But yeah, definitely we're going to see how much stamina these guys got.
For sure. It's going to be interesting to see. And you're going to see, like you talked about earlier with the Dodgers, who's truly got depth. Mm-hmm. You can have kind of fake depth.
Yeah.
And it'll get you through a month or two. It won't get you through the season unless you have true depth.
And we're going to see a lot of these teams, there was a lot of small market teams last year who did very well. Yeah. And they have what you could call fake depth. But that had a 60-game season. We're over doubling that this year. So we're going to see how legit some of these these smaller teams are.
Yeah, great point. Because in a shortened season, it looked like people might have had a little more than they did. Remember this, though. No club has repeated since that three-peat New York Yankees team back in 98 through 2000. They, on paper, should do it. It won't be easy. Jimmy, if you were betting right now, and I'm talking about legit challengers, I'm not talking about dark horse picks just yet, who are the legitimate challengers to the Los Angeles Dodgers, in your opinion?
If we're looking in the NL right now, there's only really one, and that's the Padres. They're in the same division, so we're going to see them a lot this year, but I don't think anyone else can really match them but the Padres. They almost match them pitching-wise. They can stay with them step for step. Hitting, I don't know. Tatis is going to be an MVP favorite. MLB's pushing the crap out of him. He's on the cover of MLB This Show.
Sure.
But I think the Padres are definitely going to give him a run, but I don't see him taking the division. Dodgers definitely win that division.
That's going to be a really fun division to watch, though. Because those two are going to be going back and forth at each other all year. And there are, well, there's one other team in that division that I think might be at least worth watching. We'll see how that ends up. If you're looking, though, entire league, who else can challenge the Dodgers?
That's a tough one because I don't know how on board I am with the Yankees.
Right.
Just because their pitching's not that great. They have they picked up Kluber, but he pitched. I remember he signed with the Rangers, and I was listening to his first start, and I was like, all right, got a strikeout, I think. I don't know. Oh, he's hurt. And then he was out for the rest of the year and didn't pitch for the Rangers ever again. And now he's back with the Yankees, doesn't have a beard. He's all clean cut, but can he pitch? He's coming off of a right shoulder tear. We know the Yankees have problems with injuries.
Sure.
I don't know if they're going to be proven this year.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. And the hard part always for the Yankees, at least to me, those expectations are always through the roof. It's not like, well, hopefully they'll make plus. No, win the whole thing or bust.
Yeah.
And so that's always a tough situation too. Got anybody else you think can contend? Anybody?
White Sox.
Chicago White Sox.
That's the
team I was thinking of.
They are good.
They're really good.
I was making this and I was for sure thinking that the Twins were going to take that division, but then I looked at the White Sox and I was like, wow. They got the MVP from last year, MVP candidate in Tim Anderson, Lucas Giolito, Lance Lynn, Dallas Keuchel all had great years last year. They picked up some depth in the free agency. They're a dang good team.
Who's going to be managing that team? Tony La Russa.
Tony La Russa, yeah.
La Russa is a guy that can bring this together. As crazy as he is.
He can't. All he has to do is just make a batting order. Just make a bat. Let him go. Just let him go. I don't know what he's going to try. I hope he doesn't try to get fancy. He doesn't try to get cute with it. Just let them play because this is a dang good team. And they can just win it all if they just let him go.
That's going to be interesting to watch because we know how good he is and he's got a stacked lineup. He's got a much, much better lineup than people might think. Okay. We're not talking about true, maybe real contenders to the Dodgers. We know that's going to be tough to really, really challenge him. But what about that next tier down? What about teams that might be a little bit better than you'd expect? Is there a team out there lurking that you're like, you know, people might not know this team, but they might be pretty good this year?
Well, a lot of people are picking the Mets right now to do very well.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm bought in on them really right now. I think they're a few pieces away.
Yeah.
Their pitching is not that great outside of DeGrom. Syndergaard's always hurt. You can't rely on him. Carlos Carrasco's hurt right now. He was involved in that trade from the Indians. Oh, sorry, the baseball team. The Cleveland baseball team.
I'm with you.
Yes. Pete Alonso needs to pick it up. He had a bad year last year. But I do like Jeff McNeil. He's a hitting machine, and Nimmo is finally starting to break out. He didn't break out in 2019. He's a little behind schedule, but he had a good year last year, had a good spring. Looking forward to seeing what he's going to do this year.
Here's a question for you. Tampa Bay Rays.
I actually have them as a disappointment this year.
Do you? Okay.
I don't think they can repeat. I mean, they lost Snell.
There's so much turnover.
Yeah.
And a lot of these small market teams, they're not paying anybody.
No.
So there's just this massive turnover. We're going to get to some disappointments in a second. You got any other dark horse contenders out there that might be a little bit sneaky to watch?
Do we need to talk about the Astros?
Yeah. Yes, yeah. We hate to, but we have to.
They lost Springer, but they still have a solid group of guys.
Yeah.
They got some dogs on that team. Altuve needs to bounce back a little more. He's been on a steady decline.
Yeah.
But they still got Correa.
They should win the AL West.
Yeah. That'll be easy.
That'll be cake.
A cake for them.
And if so, they're still going to be in the thick of it much as we don't want them to be.
And we know how they do in the playoffs.
Right.
They do well in the playoffs. Yes. They're a playoff team.
And experienced team. I've got one other team I want to throw out to you and get your thoughts on. And maybe you have them as a disappointment as well. What about those Minnesota Twins though?
I had them right where you had them. They did add some depth to their lineup. They added Andrelton Simmons, great defensive shortstop. Great. He's one of the best defensive shortstop in the game. They added some pitching. The problem is they added middle of the road pitching, which I don't think is going to get them anywhere in the playoffs. But during the season, they got guys that can eat some innings. They added Alex Comey. He's a great closer. Great out of the bullpen. And they have Nelson Cruz. They still have those Bombas that can smash the ball and hit home runs. So they should be solid. I'm picking them for a wild card spot.
Yeah, I would think that they should be in there. And again, when you're pitching and you're playing pretty good defense, at least you're going to be a pain to play.
Yeah.
We'll see if they can manage to do anything. Got any sneaky teams over in the NL?
Actually, I'm going to go with the Cardinals.
You got to, don't you?
Yeah. They added Nolan, you know.
Yes, they did. We're going to get to that. We're going to get to that.
At some point, yeah. But best defensive team in baseball, easily. Those guys can field the ball. They're great. Not that great hitting, though. They're kind of middle of the road on that. Nolan's going to add to that.
They have
Paul Goldschmidt can hit. Dylan Carlson's actually my rookie of the year pick. He's coming up this year. They have a solid pin. So I think they'll take that division.
Yeah. Yeah. St. Louis should be fun to watch. And it's not going to be very fun for Colorado Rockies fans, but it's going to be fun for, you know, St. Louis Cardinals fans and everyone else. What about a team like the San Francisco Giants?
You know,
they added some people and they're kind of sneaky.
I was looking at them for a dark horse. I just really couldn't commit because that's a tough division But they are a thorn in everybody's side.
Right.
They are a thorn. They are there to mess with people. And, you know, I think the same way about actually the Kansas City Royals, too. I was looking at their lineup this year and I was like, wait, that's not bad at all.
They spent some money.
That's not bad at all. And I watched what they were doing in the Rangers. They score runs.
Yeah.
The last three games, they've put up like five, six or more runs. They hang.
KC might be a little bit sneaky out there. Okay, I've got a couple of teams I want to ask you about, but I've got one very specific here. The Los Angeles Angels. Where do you put them in this whole thing?
I have them this year as a dark horse team. And it's kind of a tough pick for me because I don't like the Angels personally as a fan.
They never do anything.
And they never do it. They can never put it all together, but Ohtani's back. They added to the bullpen. Nothing crazy. A lot of old dudes. Could work. They have Mike Trout, obviously.
Mike Trout finally just win a playoff? Just get to the playoffs.
Could he
win a playoff series?
You see, like in the NBA, you have your LeBron James, who's the best player in the league, and he can just take you there.
Yes.
But you can't do that in baseball, or else Mike Trout would have three rings already. But they just never put a team around him. But Upton's smashing this spring. He's mashing the spring. Maybe they can put it together this year. I'm really hoping, but we know the Angels can't have nice things. So.
Right. Yeah. Based on that, it's tough to have a whole lot of faith in them. It's going to be interesting. A couple of the teams that are out there. The Atlanta Braves.
Like the Atlanta Braves. Oh, I didn't mention them, huh?
No.
I didn't mention the Braves.
That's a team you got to like.
I definitely like
them a lot last year.
I like them a lot this year. They have the, you know, Freddie Freeman, they can still mosh as a team.
Yes, they can.
They're starting pitching. I'd like to see them take another step forward this year. They were good in the playoffs last year. That was their biggest what if. Are they going to be good in the playoffs? Can they pitch? I need to see their pitching, you know, come forward a little bit more. But other than that, they're solid.
Well, and they play in a tough division.
They do play
in a tough division. That division is no joke.
Yeah. They don't play around.
No, because, you know, teams that are out there, I mean, Phillies are another team that could be a pain.
Ugh, I don't know. I want to see.
Their bullpen's terrible.
Bullpen's terrible. I just need to see them, you know, put it all together. I have them as a disappointment team this year. Again, I'm going to keep them as a disappointment team until they can prove to me that they can do it. They have Alec Boehm coming up. Great prospect.
Yeah.
He's a rookie of the year contender. He could definitely help out this team.
Okay.
But I need to see them put it all together first.
Anybody else you want to get in there, now's your chance. If you've got a team that you think is going to be sneaky good, I want to hear it right now.
Any other team? All right.
Team that you think is going to be sneaky on us.
Blue Jays. I think they'll come up this year.
Yeah, they should be better.
Those guys are getting older. They're getting more experience. They're only adding. They're playing all the right cards there. They added George Springer. They added Semien. Nate Pearson's going to be a problem. That guy throws gas. Yeah. And he's coming up. He's young. Ryu is still solid. They're still young, though.
Yes, they are.
They have a lot of time.
They had a big offseason. They added some big-time talent to that roster. It's going to be fun to watch. Okay, coming back, we know that there's a few surprises we talked about, but we also know, like Jimmy already talked about, there's going to be some teams out there that are going to disappoint us in 2021 as well. Plus, we still need to get his picks for the 2021 World Series, and I am told that he has got a question for me today on the dose. Still got a lot to get to today. Okay, so let's continue with our 2021 Major League Baseball preview that we've got going today. We've got young Jimmy, who is studying sports journalism up at the University of Colorado in Boulder. He is joining us because he is our resident baseball expert. And y'all know I am not watching enough baseball to be an expert, so I'm making him do all the heavy lifting for me today. Jimmy, we got your picks for teams that can contend in MLB this year. We got your picks for teams that maybe could surprise us a little bit this year. We talked a little bit before about maybe a team that might disappoint us. Do you have teams that are going to have some expectations and they're not going to live up to them this year?
Yeah, definitely the Rays, who just went to the World Series this last year.
Yeah.
I don't see them coming back. I don't see them actually doing much anything at all, especially in the playoffs. I don't know how they can keep up with their whole, we don't really have a good hitter.
Yeah.
That just isn't going to happen. That's just not going to work like last year. Their pitching, I don't know what they were doing. They brought back Chris Archer. Well, why do people keep thinking Chris Archer can pitch? Especially the Rays. They brought him back twice. This is the second time with the team. He's not that good. And I don't think they can work their magic with him. They have Tyler Glass now, but you know, Michael Wacha, I guess he was okay last year.
Yeah.
He's old.
He was okay back when he was with St. Louis. I don't know if he's what he was, you know, then. Well, and again, when you have these teams that are trying to run it on kind of a shoestring budget, unless you're going to eventually spend, it's going to catch up with you at some point because the other teams are spending and they just keep turning it over. I give them a ton of credit for doing what they've done.
Yeah.
I just don't know how sustainable it is.
It's not.
Not in this era.
I don't see it happening. Same thing with the A's. A's did not get any better this year, this offseason. They added a bunch of old dude, Elvis Andrus, Mitch Moreland, Sergio Romo. What are you doing? What are you doing? You lost Semien. He was your best player outside of Matt Chapman.
Right.
What are you doing? You're not getting better. You're getting worse.
So you've got Oakland. You've got Tampa taking a step back this year. And hey, both of those clubs had big, big years last year. Very impressive stuff. Think they're going to take a step back. I like it. What else you got?
In the NL, I have the Cubs.
Chicago Cubs.
I have the Chicago Cubs taking a step back.
Tell me why.
Their pitching is lacking. Yep. Their pitching is lacking. They lost Yu Darvish, you know, after he had such a big year. Chris Bryant's coming off of an injury, and they're projected to win 85 games this year. They're just underperforming. They've underperformed last year, they underperformed the year before that.
Pitching's going to be a problem for them, isn't it?
Big problem. Yeah, Kyle Hendricks throwing 87. That, again, sustainable. You want to talk about sustainable? That's not sustainable.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough to keep up with. I got a couple teams I want to get your thoughts on. Cincinnati Reds played so well last year, and they had a horrible offseason. Mm-hmm. They're taking a step back, aren't they?
Yeah, they needed to add this offseason, and they didn't. And they actually, just watching them get in a fight last night with the Cardinals. What are they doing? They're a young team. They have a lot of young players. They didn't add, and they're going to pay for it.
They probably will, yeah. Jimmy, there was a team last year that you really liked. And you said long before we ever got to the postseason, the Miami Marlins are going to scare some people.
Yeah.
They're going to make some noise. And they did.
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to do this year?
I think that they're going to play a role of a thorn in someone's side. I don't think they can do it right now. The same thing with the Reds, the Rays. They don't really have a hitter that can stand out for them. But wow, they're young starters. Sixto Sanchez is my rookie of the year candidate for the Marlins.
Okay.
Big fan of him. Yeah, they got some young hurlers that can really bring it.
Really,
I just don't think they have the.
Yeah, they need a few more pieces, don't they?
Yeah,
but they've got a lot of talent, and it's young talent that is on the rise. Well, there's a few teams out there that we have talked about, a few teams that we have touched on, but Jimmy, I've got to touch on one other team.
Yeah,
I hate to bring this up,
don't we? Yeah,
but I'm gonna have to because you are a big Colorado Rockies fan. And of course, in the offseason, your favorite team paid, you know, around $50 million to the St. Louis Cardinals to take away maybe the best third baseman in the league. Do you want to defend this or, you know, Colorado Rockies, how should we be feeling about this situation right now?
All right, Clint.
Yep.
You know, when you're a kid.
Yes.
And you go to your mom, you say, Mom, can I have a dog? Can I have a puppy? And she says, are you going to take care of it? And you go, yeah, I'm going to take care of it.
Of course I am.
Well, they give you the puppy. You have the puppy now, and you don't care about it. You don't feed it. You don't give it what it needs. Instead, you hire someone else to take care of that puppy.
Yeah.
Except that person doesn't take care of the puppy either. That is kind of the situation that Dick Monfort and Jeff Bridich have kind of put themselves in.
Yes, it is.
And now that puppy's dying.
Correct.
Yet everybody still wants to pet the puppy and pay attention to the puppy and go see the puppy play.
The puppy's on its last legs.
Puppy's on its last legs, and the owners of the puppy need to go.
Yes, 1,000%. The owners need to go. Is there any reason? Can you come up with any fathomable reason that we should feel the least bit excitement for this franchise?
Well, before we recorded this, I just watched Austin Gombert have the worst first inning I've ever seen in a long time.
Yes, you did.
So
you were not very happy.
No. I don't see any reason to be excited for this team. They say they can compete. I don't know what they're smoking.
They can't compete.
They can't compete. Trevor Story's going to be gone.
He'll be gone.
Within 2 years, he'll be gone.
He'll be a Dodger or a Yankee?
Well, they're saying Corey Seager is going to be a Yankee, so that's an open shortstop spot.
There you go. That's where he'll end up. This is an absolute mess, and there is no light at the end of this tunnel.
Train wreck.
The problem is that they're basically saying, okay, we're going to rebuild it. We didn't have the pieces. We're going to rebuild it. And I know that a lot of people, when they see, like, I know Denver Broncos right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that are just like, well, just tear it all down and build it back up. One, it's kind of like a little kid that gets mad at his Legos and just kicks them across the room.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense, though, because what you're basically saying is you're trusting the Mumfords to build it back up?
Yeah,
Are you kidding me?
No way.
There's no way that's going to work. So you can't – I get, like, the sentiment. Like, I get the idea, but it's not realistic in the least bit.
We had DJ LeMahieu, Trevor Story, and Nolan Arenado on the field at once. And Charlie Blackin on the field at once, at one point.
Did nothing.
Nothing. Nothing at all.
And so their answer is to, well, we're just going to tear it down and start over.
We're just going to give the fans a middle finger because we know they're going to show up to drink our beer.
It's absolutely painful, and that's why I refuse to support this team in any way. Okay, before we get to your World Series picks, we need to get out of this bad mood that the Colorado Rockies have put us in. What about MVPs from each league? If you were going to make a prediction from each league, give me your MVP candidates for each league. Who do you got?
For the NL, I think it's pretty clear that it's going to be Tatis if he can stay healthy.
Yeah.
If he can stay healthy, it's going to be Tatis. You know, they're pushing him so much. He's in every single ad. He's in the Gatorade ads. He's the player that the MLB has chosen to market. He's cool, you know? He's got the cool hair, cool looks. He's the guy that the MLB wants to be the MVP, so he'll be the MVP.
So you're going with Tatis, understandably so.
And he's a great player, too.
He is a great player.
He's exciting to watch.
Oh, yeah, for sure. What about over the AL?
Trout. You know, it's got to be Trout.
It's got to be Trout, doesn't it?
It's always a safe bet to pick Trout.
How can you go wrong?
He's the best player in baseball. And he's getting better. He's getting better.
That's what's ridiculous.
Well, last year he was like, oh, you know, I had a bad year. You hit 280.
Right. You know how many guys would kill to have your bad year? Yeah, it must be nice to have those kind of rough years. Mm. And you know, he's just got to be so frustrated.
Oh, my God.
And last year, like, they start to look a little, but injuries killed them, and just down the stretch, they couldn't get anything done. No, you just feel so bad for Trout. Honestly, I'm rooting for the guy just to go win a series just so he could know what it felt like.
Yeah.
Because he has no idea. Okay, got to get serious now. I know it's only April, early April at that, but we need to get to your World Series prediction. In the fall of 2021, who is going to be in the World Series this year?
I have the White Sox and the Dodgers.
White Sox, Dodgers?
Yeah.
That'd be a fun series.
I'd sign up
for that right now.
I would love to see that.
I would too.
I have the Sox winning it in six.
Wow, he's even going with the upset.
I don't see...
Chicago wins it.
I don't like the repeat. I don't like the repeat.
The repeat is so tough.
It's
hard to have that same passion, that same hunger every single day, every single ounce of preparation, because that's where it's at. Mm-hmm. It's not on the field during the games. Who's going to prepare
exactly
like that? And it's tough to find that after you're holding that big giant ring on your hand.
Oh, yeah. It's easy to just keep looking at that ring, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's easy to keep looking at. Yeah.
Look what we just did.
Oh, yeah, wait, for sure. We're playing right now, you know?
Right, right. Jimmy, got a quick question for you. Before we get to some other things, Bear, but how did your March Madness bracket go this year?
I am set to win $30, so I'm doing pretty good.
You're doing pretty well.
I am doing pretty well. In the Daily Dose one, I am the right one. That is me.
Oh, so you're the right one.
I'm the right one. So I'm sitting
you're right there.
Yeah, I'm sitting pretty good.
Who did you have winning the whole thing?
I had Gonzaga beating Baylor.
Oh, so you're so right.
I'm
then.
Set. Yeah, yeah.
You are set. You've got a, you've, well, by the time this comes out, we're going to know.
Yeah, we'll know. But...
We'll know if how you did on that. That's going to be really, really interesting. Mm-hmm. That should be a really, really fun championship game. For the summer, you staying in Colorado? You going back to Texas? What's the
story? I am going back to Frye in Texas. Yeah.
Are you? You know. You're going to go back there and get good and warm.
Yes.
What are you going to do with your summer when you're out of school?
You do a lot of work, you know.
Where are you going to work?
Well, I got a few gigs, you know. I'm umpiring.
Okay.
You know, I'll umpire, you umpire baseball games. I'm going to get another job, you know.
Gotcha.
But okay. I definitely enjoy umpiring a lot.
Do you?
Yeah.
What's the best part about it?
The angry parents and coaches. You know, they keep it interesting. The boring games are the ones where everything goes, you know, completely fine and you have eight pass balls and at bat, you know, when the kid can't throw a strike. But when the coaches get mad, it's exciting.
What kind of ages are you umpiring?
So I'll umpire ages 9 to 18.
Oh, so you'll go all the way up through high school.
I'll go all the way to high school. I see kids from my high school in some of the games that I'm umpiring.
Worst interaction you've ever had with a parent or coach?
Ooh, the worst one. I can tell you the worst one.
Okay, let's have it.
The very first call I made as an umpire, I was in the field, kind of in a tough position. So the kid walks. As he goes to first, he rounds second. Pitcher has the ball, throws it to second base. I move around. I kind of have a bad angle. Kid tags the kid at second before he gets there.
Yeah.
I was quick to the call, called him out. Coach goes insane, ballistic, crowd. What the F is going on? Right. You know, everybody's off the field at this point. So at this point, the call can't be overturned because everyone's off the field. That's the rule in the league. The guy dropped the ball.
Oh, I did not see him. Oh,
I did not see that he dropped the ball. That coach was in my face. Swear to God, he had tobacco spit all over me. I'm not that big of a guy, Clint. I'm like 5'7", 150, 155 on a good day, maybe. This guy, 6'1", fat dude, red face, Oakley's. You know the drill.
Oh, yeah.
In my face, just drilling me about it. I was like, oh, my God. My dad's in the stands watching my first umpiring game, laughing his butt off. I didn't know how to deal with it. Oh, it was terrible.
What'd you do? How'd you handle it? Did you just walk away? Let him vent?
Just caught up. I was frozen. I was like, thank God. Yeah. My umpire buddy, you know, came over, you know, got it all situated because he was calm. He understood that it was my first game or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's definitely something that scarred me a little bit. But I find umpiring, it helps me interact with people, you know, because I know how to handle people that are very aggressive now. You know, I've done it for a few years. It's good management skills on how to manage anger of other people.
It absolutely is. It's a really, really good kind of painful life lesson. But I refereed basketball for a few years, and I understand that pain because I have been in the middle of some of those same situations. Yeah. And it gets scary
very fast.
Yeah, at some point I'll have to tell the story of a parent asked me to go outside to the parking lot to fight after a game. Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
It was a whole thing. I threw his child out of the league. That's what led to it. So, yeah, it was at some point we'll have to drill down on that story. Okay, we do this with Jimmy. I don't do it with anybody else. I'm not letting Rob or somebody ask me questions. He'll be obnoxious. But we do this with Jimmy. Jimmy's going into sports journalism. He gets to tee up one question for me. He says he's got something that's going to stump me here. I'm a little bit concerned. All right, let's go ahead and get to it. Jimmy, what question do you have for me this week on the Dose?
Clint, this is your classic would you rather question.
Okay, I'm ready for would you rather. I can't get that wrong. I've got a choice.
Clint.
Yes.
Would you rather have a free lifetime gym membership?
Okay.
But the gym is the NCAA Women's March Madness weight room.
Ooh, see, that's not much.
Or? Rocky season tickets for 5 years.
Oh, I'm taking the women's weight room. It's not even close. It's not even close. I can at least go in there and do some push-ups and get some
yoga.
Yeah, I get like something productive out of it. Yeah, that's not even close. That's an easy one. I'm glad it was that easy. I was a little bit nervous. Oof. But yeah, that's a good question though, because I'm not going season tickets. No, I won't do it.
No,
that's going to be painful to watch. It's going to be specifically painful this year. And I'm telling you, I am encouraging people to not go to games. Because the ownership is killing their fans and they don't seem to care one single bit.
They don't deserve us.
They
don't deserve us, Clint.
That should be the 2021 Rockies motto. They don't deserve us as fans because they are doing every single thing wrong and still expecting fans to show up. Well, Jimmy, you gave us a lot of things to think about, gave us a lot of things to look forward to in the 2021 MLB season. It should be a great season. Like I said, I'm really, really hoping baseball brings us back to fans in the stands and gets us back to a little bit more normalcy. That is what I'm hoping for from MLB. We're going to have you back and kind of touch base, see how your predictions are going, call you out if you got them wrong, give you major, major props if you got them right. But as usual, thank you so much for stopping by the Daily Dose. We always enjoy your visits and we always enjoy your insight into the world of Major League Baseball.
Thank you very much for having me.
Hey, next week on The Dose, we will be keeping you up to date with all that happens in the world of sports. And while I know college basketball is now over, we just might have to kind of wrap up the season as only we can do. Plus, the NBA is heating up. Major League Baseball is now rolling, I guess. The NFL always seems to be in the news. And there's always things going on in the world of sports. So make sure you stop by the Daily Dose and make sure you tell a friend to do the same. Have to say thank you so much to Young Jimmy for stopping by, giving us some insight on the MLB season. We're going to have him back throughout the year and check how his picks are doing. And I have to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to the Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for subscribing to our YouTube channel and giving us positive ratings wherever it is you watch or listen. But more than anything else, thank you so much for sharing the show with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.
Hello, Newman.